welcome to the broadcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab at our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
Justin is, he's elder and sound guy, and anyway, this is actually why we need more volunteers. We'll be talking about that, you know, for a couple of reasons. We have our voters meeting today after the service. You can come, but you can't vote, you know, not today. But for those who are eligible to vote, please come. And also, it's not too late to volunteer to serve, and the forms are back there to nominate yourself. There's no shame in that, trust me. And by the way, if you're not elected, you can still serve. You know, you could be appointed or just volunteer or just show up, such as like next. This coming Saturday is work day, so we'll have jobs to do, and Pastor Jones always does a good job organizing all those, so that's a good opportunity to not only help out, but also hang out and enjoy one another's company, because that's part of what we get to do, what we enjoy doing. However, I'm going to abandon you this week because there's a pastor's conference. I'll be going to that tomorrow through Wednesday. Mention that because we won't have our Wednesday morning Bible study, and we won't have our catechism class Wednesday afternoon. You get a break. But we will have a worship service Wednesday night. Right? Okay. All right. Then allow me to, and Matt's going to talk after the service, but we'll save that for after the service. So let me announce our hymns. We are following Divine Service Setting 1, which begins on page 151 in your hymnal. And the opening hymn is the first five stanzas of 555. And then the hymn of the day is 690. During distribution, we'll sing 782. Gracious God, you send great blessings. 596, all Christians who have been baptized. 618, I come, O Savior, to thy table. And then we close with 555. The last five stanzas, salvation unto us is come. And Justin ran out of fives, he told me, so it's in your bulletin. All right, well, let's begin now with the first five stanzas. 555, salvation unto us has come. Thank you. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We allow time of silence to reflect on God's word and for self-examination. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your way. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins as a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority. I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Turn to the yellow insert and we sing together the introit. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world,
for the well-being of the Church of God and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you.
Let us pray. O God, your divine wisdom sets in order all things in heaven and on earth. Put away from us all things hurtful and give us those things that are beneficial for us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading is from Ecclesiastes chapter 5. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them, and what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes? Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. There is a grievous evil that I have seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owner to his hurt, and those riches were lost in a bad venture. And he is father of a son, but he has nothing in his hand. As he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again, naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry away in his hand. This also is a grievous evil. Just as he came, so shall he go. And what gain is there to him who toils for the wind? Moreover, all his days he eats in darkness, in much vexation and sickness and anger. Behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him. For this is his lot. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God. For he will not much remember the days of his life, because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart. This is the word of the Lord. We sing together the gradual and the yellow insert. He will come.
command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
The epistle reading will serve as the sermon text, and I'm going to read the extended version. You don't have it all printed, so I'll be reading from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest. As he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience. Again, he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand in honor of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And his disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "See, we've left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thank you. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our epistle reading today from Hebrews picks up in the middle of a sermon, and it brings to mind a painful lesson from the wilderness wanderings of the children of Israel. After God brought them, miraculously out of slavery in the land of Egypt, he brought them to Mount Sinai, gave them the Ten Commandments. He directed the building of the tabernacle, so that would be their place of worship where he would come to reside with them. And he brought them to the promised land, right up to the edge. But there were people who refused to enter. And the writer of Hebrews gives us God's response to those hard-hearted people, to their unbelief. It's in Psalm 95, and I'll read a part of this. The Psalms are in your hymnal in the front, but let me just read a few of the verses. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion on the day of testing of the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. This lesson is painful because we've seen the same temptation to rebellion, what it's done to some people that we know, loved ones, family members, church members. The children of Israel, well, they were afraid of the people who were in the promised land, those Canaanites. They appeared to them to be giants and stronger, and so they're intimidated. Even though they had the promises of God, this is yours. Go in there and it's yours. But they were also seduced by these alternatives to the one true God. Well, because Jesus is our high priest, he knows and he sympathizes with our weaknesses. He himself was tempted in every way, as we are, but without sin. God warns us away from the temptations that earn his wrath, and instead he calls us to hear his word, and to enter his rest, his eternal rest. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. This is an appeal for the people to do it together. Let us, he says, as the psalm says as well, we are to do this together, not alone. This is God's design that we will enter his rest together. Together we enter God's rests. Alone, we fall. God has brought you into a community of believers right here, Zion Lutheran Church, Chippewa Falls, today, October 20th, 2024. We're all here now in his presence. This morning you're hearing God's voice with fellow Christians, children of God, your brothers and sisters in Christ, except for those who are listening on the radio or over the internet, you are present with the living God together in this place. God speaks, and you hear his voice. You didn't harden your heart. You repented. You confessed your sins at the beginning of this service, and you received his forgiveness. You are resting in the promises that were given to you in baptism. Here and now, God is bringing you into his eternal rest. This is the same rest that he created on the seventh day, a place where he would reside. Rest. After 6 days of creating the heavens and the earth and all the living creatures, God created the seventh day of rest. He entered into it. He resides in this rest. It's outside of time and space, but he promises this eternal rest to all who believe in him and are baptized in his name. And every time he gathers us for the divine service, we enter that rest. While we're living in this earthly life, we only visit. We will continue to sin. We'll sin against God, and we'll sin against the people around us, and those people will sin against us, and we'll be tempted and enticed away from our Lord by Satan, by the world. These temptations come in many forms. They often come tailor-made for our particular weaknesses and our vulnerabilities. This is why they're so powerful. You already know social media is designed to learn what you like, what you engage in, so it can, you know, keep bringing you back to those things, hoping to get you addicted, frankly, you know, so that you at least crave it and desire to spend more time in those things that, well, your sinful flesh desires. You know, maybe it's you like to feel smart, so you like to read things or be in the know, or you just like to be liked, and so you're trying to gain followers, or you want to be entertained, or maybe just the images that feed your lusts. You just want to escape reality. All these things, social media is designed to get you engaged, right? To pull you away. Now, this is really just a crude version of what Satan already does. He plays to our sinful nature. He knows us. He knows what draws us away from Christ and Christ's church. It's our sinful nature. It's curved in on ourselves. We just focus on ourselves. So we tend to move toward isolation, away from God and away from our neighbors whom God has given us to love and serve. And it's not good to be alone. God said that right off the bat. So God has made us for relationships, for family, for community. We're born into a biological family by design. People to love and to be loved by. And yet, loneliness today is a worldwide epidemic. Now, you and I, we've not only been born into biological families, we've been born into God's eternal family. You were made part of God's family in your baptism by His grace through the blood of Christ, and, well, you're not your own. You belong to Christ, and you are part of His church. While we're isolated, we are vulnerable. While we're isolated, we will fall. This is what Satan wants. It's not what God wants. He makes that clear. That verse 11 that I read, I'll read it again from the epistle today. It's the ESV translation. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. You know, translations are never precisely word for word, so it's helpful to understand nuances of the original languages at times. For example, let us strive to enter that rest. It may also, and I would suggest be better understood, is let us be eager to enter that rest. To be eager to enter that rest, well, it's probably more consistent with the context and the intent of the author. And you might ask, well, why does it matter? What's the difference? Let us strive, let us be eager. So consider, firstly, how being eager reflects the heart, you know, the attitude of the person. The eager person is not just doing something, but they're doing it with enthusiasm. In other words, we're not only to work on entering the rest, but we are to do so with enthusiasm. Life as a Christian is not simply going through the motions, checking off boxes. Life as a Christian reflects Jesus Christ living in you. Jesus makes you eager to enter His rest. He wants you to embrace this with the eagerness of knowing that you'll soon be living in the presence of the Holy God who loves you. Another reason why understanding this verse is let us be eager is that you're not doing this alone. We're doing this together. And living together as the family of God here and now. We're here for one another. And our eagerness to enter God's rest will encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ, especially when they're not feeling so eager. You can just think about, and I'm not going to ask you to share how this plays out in your household or wherever you live. You know, the eagerness or lack of eagerness to attend the divine service, it'll make a difference, perhaps, on your own eagerness or others. And not that we can manufacture this artificially, you know, our own eagerness to enter God's rest. So, I mean, we can certainly desire and hold on to what God has put in us. But ultimately, we are trusting and relying on God to provide that, the Holy Spirit in us that comes through His Word. So what do you do when you're not eager to go to church? You go to church. And He creates this eagerness by the gifts that He pours out on you so abundantly, so eagerly He gives these gifts. Our sinful nature doesn't want to be in the presence of God. Being in the presence of the Holy God means being humbled, being confronted with our sins in His presence. And the Word of God cuts through and works on us, uncovering and condemning our particular sins, those sins that lead us away from God, those sins that we follow to satisfy our sinful desires. And that same Word also forgives your sin, removes your guilt, relieves your shame. It's been put on Christ, and you have that Word, God's Word, spoken in your ear. After a week of struggling with our sinful flesh, resisting temptation and carrying guilt, well, we can eagerly come for this here. Like a beggar, we can eagerly look forward to receiving these gifts of our Lord that He eagerly wants to give us: forgiveness, life, salvation, and fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ that He's given us in this life. Today's epistle reading begins, "Therefore, while the promise of entering this rest still stands, let us fear, lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it." Again, we hear the attitude, "Let us fear." We're to be fearing God while the promise of entering this rest still stands. While we live in this temporal life, we can be lured away into disbelief. We can become hard-hearted. We can't fail to enter God's eternal rest by fearing, loving, or trusting something or someone more than the one true God. And failing to reach God's promised rest is a fearful notion indeed. But this is not so much fear for self failing to reach God's rest. You have that promise. You're here. You know this. As much as fear for others, they fail to reach God's rest. Let us fear. Again, we're in this together, with each other, for each other. You're not alone. We have responsibility toward one another, and we depend on one another. This is God's design. This is God's will. You're born into a biological family, that built-in community to provide, support, care for you, protect you, and you're there for them when you go old enough to do so. And you're born into God's eternal family through the waters of holy baptism, a built-in community to provide, support, care for, and protect you. You're there for them, and they're there for you. This is God's design and His will. When you attend the divine service, you enter God's rest together with the family He's put you in. We don't want to fall into disbelief and fail to enter His eternal rest, nor do we want others to do so. So we can encourage those who've been away to return. We can remind them of the promise of this rest. And for you who are here now, while it is today, as the author closes out this text, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. And this throne of grace we have here in His supper, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. And together we confess our faith as written in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We pray. Lord, you are near to the brokenhearted, and you save the crushed in spirit. Deliver us from every fear and trouble, that the praise of your name would continually be in our mouths. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God, with us, salvation is impossible, but with you all things are possible. Give boldness to your church to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, by whose death and resurrection the way to your kingdom has been opened. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, bless all who study at our universities and seminaries. Raise up more church workers, for the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Lord, in your mercy. Spare the servants of your church from love of wealth and from fear of the difficulty of their task, that they would gladly set aside every comfort for your sake and for the gospel. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, lead our households to find eternal rest in your Son and his Word. Give fathers and mothers diligence in teaching their children, and preserve us all from hardness of heart. Give us urgency to hear the good message of salvation today. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, guide our nation and its leaders in true wisdom to promote honest labor, temporal protection, and fitting enjoyment under the sun. Guide your Christians to serve Christ in their citizenship and callings. Do not let our hearts be occupied with the vanity of riches that perish, but with the true joy of Christ. Lord, in your mercy. When the righteous cry, you hear, O Lord, and deliver them out of all their troubles. Draw near to save the brokenhearted, the crushed in spirit, the sick, and those in need, especially Jeff, Dan, Tiffany, Lois, Louis, Arlene, Marlis, Tim, Rick, Greg, Missy, Lacey, Marlene, Kathy, Arlene, Michael, Mark, Jesse, Sarah, Kara, Leah, Marlis, Erno, Jeff, and Cookie. Lord, in your mercy. Since we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, hold us fast in our confession through all temptation and preserve us from sin, O Lord. Give your blessing to all who draw near to your throne of grace, especially those who receive the blessed sacrament this day, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, Your son left his earthly home to do his saving work, and so he knows what it is to leave family behind. Comfort your children who have left home and loved ones for the sake of the gospel. Set them firmly into the family of the church and sustain them in the hope of eternal life in the age to come through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Receive the blessing of our Lord, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You may be seated as the offering is gathered.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 Lord, God, heaven, earth, God, glory.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us through your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And deliver us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue in Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.